others dying without our deliver. We'll rise and pray. We'll rise and pray. Till the whole world hears. Till the whole world knows. Lord, send us out where you would have us go. Till the lost world hears. Till the last one knows. The grace of God, the love that you have shown. Till the whole world hears.
You guys all know that it was Ralph's birthday yesterday. Yeah. So let's sing to him.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ralph. Happy birthday to you.
Well, his 50th birthday, and I thought, well, let's pray for our pastor. I think that can there's never hurting. We pray, we bring him before God, and we just give thanks for him. Is that all right? Andrew, would you like to start in a prayer for us?
Lord, what better words can we use than those in your word? Mm-hmm. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lord, lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And yes, Father, we do thank you, Lord, for our pastor serving over 20 years here in Santa Ponsa. And Father, I know by his faithful preachings, he turned a lot of people to Jesus. Not to Raph, not to nobody else, but to Jesus. Father, we just thank you that he's always pointing at Jesus, because there it is where life starts, Lord. So, Father, I pray that you will continue just to use him, that you continue him to be as balanced, Lord, as he always is, just opening your word and bringing your word faithfully and so balanced. So, Father, we bring him before your holy throne. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for him, and pray, Lord, that you will bless him whatever time you will give him on earth before our Father. And let him be in his heart where he can just say, to live is Christ and to die is gain, to be with you forever. Mm-hmm. But Father, in the meantime, keep him here so he can serve your people. Father, in your name we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
No, I just, he saw me run away with the coffee machine, and I'm not very subtle, so I was trying to surprise him, but now he's seen it downstairs. But please stick around after the service, because we'll have surprise cake and some coffee. So just come downstairs, and we're on loading days. Tomorrow we're on a diet, so watch out, but we're going to eat all of it.
I looked over and I saw Loretta running with the coffee machine. And I'm just like, what is she doing? And my thought was, we need the coffee here for the people. And she's just using it for the children's ministry. And then I went and I asked Heidi. I said, Heidi, where's the coffee machine? She goes, it's hot today. People won't want to have it inside. And then I went to Loretta, I go, Loretta, and she goes, and then I knew. I knew something was up. Anyway, I must say, usually we celebrate birthdays, and Loretta's like, oh, would you like a party? Would you like something? And I'm always like, no, maybe my 50th. And it's so strange that the 50th comes and we can't have anything, you know? It's been really, really strange. But I'll tell you, yesterday I had such an amazing day. You know, it was just the family, you know, just Loretta, the kids. And then Loretta organized 50 videos from different people that we know all over the world. And every hour she would show me a couple, you know? And then messages, obviously, that came through. And I must say that I don't think I'd ever felt in my whole life so loved and so appreciated. And I want to say really thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. And I must say, with pastoring sometimes, it is kind of like you don't really see the results and the meaningful relationships, even in the span of time, you know, that people that have come and gone. And it's just sometimes you wonder what is going on in people's hearts. You just don't know, you know. And it was just such a glimpse of how loved I am, not just by God, but by you guys. And it was very, 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 very special. Yeah, great birthday. Oh, and then I actually had to go to somebody else's birthday party yesterday, believe it or not. Jonathan has a friend whose birthday is on the same day, and I had to go celebrate somebody else's birthday for a couple hours. I was like, Jonathan, we're not staying long. But anyway, thank you so much and love you guys. And it's just, you know, another thing I was going to say about this is reaching 50, somebody said to me the other day, it was yesterday. She's like, oh, that's half your life. I said, no, that's half a century. I don't know if I'm going to live another week, another month, another year, another 10, 20, 30 years. But, you know, but I must say that, you know, you get older and you feel it. I play football with the kids and things, and you're like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. But it's amazing. On the outward, life is going sort of downhill, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term. You know, the body, your bodies begin to decay, everybody's bodies. But it's amazing with knowing the Lord that, like Paul says, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And I think of the words of Caleb when he said, I'm just as strong today as I was back then. Lord, give me this mountain. And I'm not 85 by any means. But I mean, I just think it's so encouraging to realize that we are not growing necessarily older. To me, life is about to begin. And as a matter of fact, the first real moment of life at its ultimate will be when we breathe our last in Jesus. You know, of course, we enjoy life here. We enjoy life with Him here. But we need to realize that we are going to be with Jesus. And no matter what our expectation of the future is to be with Him, it will be an eternal weight of glory. It will be life like we never thought before. So I think it's just amazing to be able to celebrate birthdays. So anyway, let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Oh my. So you guys took all my time, huh? So I'm going to go longer today than usual. Yes. But Acts chapter 3 says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, of those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, said, look at us. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Arise and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet, ankle bones received strength, So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what all had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take this time and that you would speak to our hearts. Last week, we looked at the everlasting gospel. We looked at the fact that you have saved us, Lord, from the penalty of sin. Lord, that you are saving us from the power of sin, that life's addictions and distortions we're being liberated from them. And Lord, we looked at the fact that one day we're going to wake up and we will be delivered from the presence of sin. What a gift. And Lord, that you are not making better people, but that you actually came to make new people with new hearts. And I'm just so grateful, Lord, to be a part of what you're doing and to be a part of who you are. It is the privilege of our lives, Lord, to come to our senses and to realize that you are the King, that you are the Savior, that you are the only one that truly loves us, that you are the only one with a true solution and with a true hope for our lives. And that the older we get, the more we realize, Lord, that apart from you, we have nothing. We pray that you would take this time as we meditate on your word and bless us, Lord, by teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, next week we have a baptism. And a baptism is not something that we do and something happens. A baptism is something that we do because something has happened. A person has received the Lord Jesus Christ and they have found themselves believers. They have found themselves with a new life. Christianity is never what we do for God. Christianity is what he has done for us and how we respond to him. He gives us a new heart. We begin to realize that at the cross, he paid a penalty that we could never pay for our sins. We realize that, and we looked at last week, how he delivers us from the power, the grip, the things that grab our life, the gravity of life. We're all pulled down by the gravity of Earth, and the tides are pulled up by the gravity of the moon. And we have the gravity of sin. Why is it that people that are just seem so nice, how we are so capable of doing so crazy things and even become self-destructive in our life? It's just crazy. But he comes and he doesn't just save us from the penalty where we're just forgiven, but he actually begins to change us. And then one day we have this amazing promise that we will wake up and we will be like he is. There will be no more presence of sin, no more bad thoughts, no more gravity, no more tendencies. But what's in between? How do we live here as we're being changed from glory to glory until we are with him? And Bart prayed. He says, Lord, we pray that for Raph to live will be Christ and to die will be gain. And while he's in here, that we will be able to benefit or that we will be useful upon the earth. And I think one of the greatest things that I find in the scriptures is how God takes common people and he uses them for eternal purposes. It's just crazy. He takes common people and he uses them for eternal purposes. And one of them, one of my favorite, there's two favorite people that I have in the New Testament, and that is Paul and Peter. Paul, I love, but I don't identify at all. I just don't have his brain power. I don't have the grit, you know, from he gets persecuted wherever he goes. I don't think I could go on a missions trip with the Apostle Paul. I'd be too scared. But Peter, not knowing what to say, he said, I identify with that. When Loretta and I first met, we went on a date to a restaurant, Indian restaurant in London in Twickenham, and I was just yabby, 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 yabba, 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 you know, and she's like, you know, you don't have to talk all the time. Okay. You know, when I get nervous, I talk. I kind of overcompensate. You know, if I'm in a crowd, I just feel like I have to ask questions. But Peter was kind of like that. Or sometimes thinking he's better than other people. I will never deny you, he said to Jesus. And then he's like, I don't know who he is. And you see this person so volatile. And I think most of us identify more with Peter than with Paul. And yet, God used both of them in spite of them. He used Paul greatly, but he also used Peter tremendously in spite of his failure. And to me, one of the greatest things that can happen in our life is not only that we know God, it's not only that we walk close to Jesus, it's not only that he's delivering us, that he's helping us to live life, not by being free as we thought of doing anything, but being free to be able to say no to things. But the next best thing is that actually he would say, I want to use you for eternal purposes. I've always been flabbergasted by the fact that imagine if Peter would have said, no, I want to just keep fishing. I mean, he would have maybe would have been the best fisherman in the world, but he would be forgotten today. And yet Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fisher of men. And today, 2,000 years later, we can still read his writings, and we can still think about the life of God in Peter. And the only thing he did was just say yes to Jesus. And here we have Peter being used, and I think I'm going to go very quickly through it, but we got to ask ourselves, what kind of person is it that God uses? What are some of the attributes that we can cultivate, which God is producing in us, that will make us more useful for the kingdom of God? And I'm going to try to sweep through them because my birthday's coming downstairs in a minute. I'm just kidding. But number one, what is one attribute of Peter that we see? Notice in verse 17 of chapter 2, not chapter 3, that he was a man of the word of God. He was a man who knew and understood the word of God. Notice that when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, that when people were wondering what was going on and the people seemed drunk, that Peter got up. And he said in verse 16, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he says verse 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. And he begins to speak about the prophecy of Joel. Now listen, guys. Peter didn't have one of these. He didn't say, oh, and by the way, this is what Joel spoke about. Here, let me read it to you. He didn't have a little Bible. In those days, they would have had a big scroll. The scroll would have been maybe the size of the keyboard here. And it's not like Peter could say, here, and here I have the prophet Joel. Let me unroll it for you and let me read it. You know, he couldn't do that. You know why? You know what I take from this? That Peter was able to quote the book of Joel because the book of Joel was in his heart. The book of Joel was in his mind. And you know what, guys? One of the greatest things that we can do for our souls is to know the word of God firsthand. To read it for ourselves. To, to spend time in it, to allow, you know, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That means that just like bread nourishes our bodies, the word of God nourishes our souls, educates our lives. It was David that said, I have more knowledge than all my teachers because you yourself teach me and I meditate on your word. And the word of God is the great, you know, I don't want a church where people just come to church and just listen to everything that I say and just go, oh, wow, Raph says this and Raph says that. No, I would love a church that people read the Bible for themselves and then we discover the Bible together. When I first became the pastor here, I said no several times. I said no from London and I said no from Arta. And then finally I heeded and I said to him, look, I'm not a pastor. And he says, look, I think you're the guy. And the only thing I could think about doing here, coming together here, and this is what I love about doing. This is what I love about pastoring, is to be able to open this book that the world has wondered about, that has changed history, and that we can open this book together and actually learn from it. Amen. What does it say about the past? About the future, about society, about me, and most importantly, about God, about Jesus, about the Spirit. It speaks about what matters most. And we get to discover it together. To me, it's not about, I hated church growing up. It's not about just going to church and doing our duty. It's we come to church and we just learn the Word of God together. It is a great privilege. So being people of the Word of God, he was able to quote it and give people a reason. He was able to actually define what was going on in society through the Word of God. And he was able to define even greater what God was doing in spite of the circumstances. What God was doing in spite of the circumstances, he was able to say to him, hey man, what you see here, God spoke about. Number two. Peter was a man of the word, but he was also a man of prayer. Look at chapter 3. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer in the ninth hour. And God used this man, Peter, who was a man that every day he would go with John to the hour of prayer, to the temple. But you know what? The Bible does not give one way to pray. It gives many ways to pray. And it says this, pray without ceasing. You ever wonder that? It's like, how do you pray without ceasing? Did you just lock yourself in a room? Or my favorite prayer place when I worked in Pizza Hut in London was the toilet. It's just like I would get stressed out and I would just run to the toilet. I would just pray. But you cannot always be somewhere praying without ceasing. No, to pray without ceasing means that we are in constant fellowship with him. That we are able to talk to him in every circumstance. At every moment, we're able to talk to him. You know, I don't have just dates with Loretta. I might have a date with Loretta. I might have a time of the day where we sit down together and we talk about what's going on. But when we are hanging out, we talk about everything. You know, that is the relationship that we enjoy with Jesus. The relationship that we should have with Jesus, it's one that is an outflow of relationship, of communication with him, to cast our cares upon him, to ask him the deepest questions of our hearts, to be able to tell him the greatest joys of our life, our greatest sorrows, and you know what, the one that I want to focus on today, which is I believe the greatest need at the moment is the art of being thankful. To just be thankful. We have so much to be thankful to God for. And you know, half the time we're so anxious about the future because we're not thankful about the past. I'll give you an example. Take the children of Israel, 400 years slaves in Egypt. And they're crying out day in and day out, deliver us. Deliver us. Please deliver us, Lord. And they've been crying out. And Pharaoh has forgotten Joseph. He's forgotten. He hates the Jews. And they are slaves and he's mistreating them. And finally, Moses comes to deliver them. And they go to the edge of the Red Sea. And they're overwhelmed by what is by the armies coming behind them and the sea in front of them. And all of a sudden, Moses... Actually, God says, hey, why do you pray to me? Just stick out. Stick out your stick. And he sticks out the stick, and the sea just opens up. And have you ever watched the movie, the cartoon? What is it called? What's that?
The Prince of Egypt.
The Prince of Egypt, that's it. Oh man, I love that one. Because when the sea parts, you see the fish going on the walls of the fish. I mean, it just parted it, you know. It just astonishing, amazing. I don't know how it happened, but the thing is, the point I'm trying to make is that when he actually made it to the other side, rather than being overwhelmed that they were free, rather than being shocked that the sea had parted, they go, there's no water. Moses, you brought us here to die. Have you noticed? There's no water. And then the Lord tells Moses, listen, hit the rock. Water comes out to feed, not one glass, the whole nation. They all drink till they're satisfied. Moses, have you noticed there's no food? And it says for 40 years, what did they do? They complained. And Moses has to say to them, but what nation is there on the earth that has God so near for anything they may call upon him for? What nation is there on the earth that has such laws where in those days they were sacrificing their own children? And here, the law of God was telling them to love God and to love people. And you know what? We have to cultivate. Listen, not saying thank you. Saying thank you is not being grateful. Being grateful is the continual desire to give thanks. Have you ever given thanks for something you don't like? Happens all the time, huh? You get a present, I go, thank you. Who can I give this to? But it's just like, but you know, it's just like, no. Gratefulness is when you have this, you're just so overwhelmed and you have this constant desire to give thanks. Guys, we live in a time that's never been more ungrateful. And here, Peter is a man of the word, a man of prayer, no doubt a man of gratefulness. After all, he had just been forgiven after denying the Lord. Can you imagine how he felt? But then, number three, he's also a man of faith. Now, this is, if we want to be used by God, there is no way that we are going to, we have to cultivate and we have to exert ourselves to being people of faith. We love to walk by sight and call it faith. We love to walk by sight and call it faith. But the reality is that in our lives, God is always going to bring us to a point where we have to trust Him, where we have to take steps that will require us just simply believing Him. You know, when I first became a Christian, it wasn't easy. I mean, the world that I live in was not a Christian world. So I knew that I was going to lose friends. I came back to Cap de Pera, you know, a Christian now. I'd been a Christian a year. And they're like, hey, so what are you doing? What are you up to? Let's go out. Oh, you know, I'm a Christian now. Oh, good, good, good. See you. I'll call you. Don't call me. You know, it was that kind of a thing sometimes, you know. It's just like, oh, wow, that's wonderful for you. And you just, and I realized, you know, I was going to lose friends, even family members. I went to Christmas with my uncles and my aunts, and they're like, so, I mean, remember what we're celebrating for Christmas. Oh, by, for heaven's sake, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. I can't believe you believe in Jesus. You know, my own family sort of kickback, giving me kickback for it. Then I went to Bible school. I moved to Austria, not knowing where I was going. I just had a sense that God was leading me there. Then moved to London, and I thought, oh my, I was in Bible college, so I thought in Bible college, they call it bridal college. If you're going to find a Christian wife, you'll find her in Bible college. You know, and there I was. I left Bible college without a wife. I'm like, no, Lord, this is my best chance. And there I went to London, which to me was like the wilderness. And it was just scary to move. And there was Loretta. And then it took faith. As I felt that the Lord was, I mean, with the difference with Loretta and the previous two relationships I had as a Christian was that this time I just felt the Lord moving me right into it. I was afraid, but moving me right into it. And to say yes was scary. It was scary to actually say, yeah, go ahead, let's get married. It took faith. And then to endure the fights, the arguments. You know, you think you marry a Christian girl, it's all going to be easy. And next thing you know, it's just like boxing gloves and knives. And no, not quite, you know, not quite knives. But, you know, just it can be heavy, you know. And to step in certain directions, you know what? At the end of the day, God is always going to bring us to a place where we need to trust Him. And the greatest compliment my children give me, the greatest compliment is whenever they trust me. And we can bring pleasure to God when He, whether He's asking us to stay, whether He's asking us to go, whether it's to start the nursery in the middle of a pandemic, whether it's, you know, whether it's to be torn down completely, kind of be left flat, and you think to yourself, where is life heading? And you get to a point, it's like, man, I need faith. And you know, it's here, it's here. It says, Peter says, look at us. In the name of Jesus, I say to you, arise. It took faith for Peter to do that. And we need to cultivate an element of faith in our life, trust. Number four, we need to be humble. And this is crazy. This is the one we really need to cultivate, but this is crazy. To me, this is the trickiest one. Because whenever we talk about humility, we have to be careful that we don't talk about false humility. False humility is the, no, I can't, no, it's not me, no, it's not, don't look at me, no, no. But inside, we're dying for attention. Humility is not when we think really low of ourselves. Humility is when we don't think too highly of ourselves and we don't think too lowly of ourselves. In other words, I can remember that I am dust, but I can remember that God knows who I am and He loves me. I can know that in me dwells no good thing, but I can know that I've been bought at a price and the very Holy Spirit of God dwells in me. I can know my limitations. There's some things that I can't do, but there's some things I can do. And I don't mind somebody else shining because they're able to do it and I can't. I was talking to Peter this week and he's like, oh, he was with some friends and he's like, oh man, it was just relaxed with friends. It was not, there wasn't any competition. You ever been with people and it's like, there's a competition who has what and what they do. And when you're with people that just, they're just content. That's humility. And you know what? God, it says in the word, what does the Lord require of you? That you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with God. There's nothing worse in the world. To me, there's nothing uglier than pride. And Paul says to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians have become proud, you know. The Corinthians, some of them were great givers. Some of them were great teachers. Some of them had great gifts. Some of them were, I don't know, just maybe philosophers. Some of them were really wealthy. And Paul says to them, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you go around boasting? Just be realistic. Be humble. And if we're going to be used by God, we have to be people that know who we are, know our limitations, know our strengths, and know what God can do. Number five, being honest. We must be sincere. Notice in verse 13, it says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Notice that Peter didn't say to the multitudes, hey guys, don't worry about what happened. You know, it was just an accident. Jesus died on the cross. No, he says, hey guys, you did it. You yielded to the mob mentality. And you know what? We're never going to be any good to anyone if we tell people how wonderful they are and are able to be with sympathy, be able to say, we've all fallen short. We all have gravity pulling us down. We all have a cancer inside of us that needs a savior. He held them accountable. He was honest with them. Now notice number six. He was a man that gave glory to Jesus. Verse 16, he says, when everyone's marveling at what happened to this man, he doesn't say, and by the way, look at me. Look what I did. He says, look at verse 16. He says, you killed the Prince of Life, and his name, through faith in his name, this man is made strong before you today. And yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And Peter's able to look at those people and say, you know what? Why do you look at us as if because of our own power? Listen to this. Or godliness. Why do you look at us as if we were some holy, you know, super holy people? He says, this has been done through faith, and even the faith came through him. And he gives all glory to Jesus. I mean, at the end of the day, you have someone like Billy Graham who has led millions of people to Jesus. Or you have someone that has led one person to Jesus. What's a greater miracle? Because at the end of the day, to have someone become a Christian is an impossibility for any man. You know, and to be able to say, you know what? You know, just be able to. I think the art of life, particularly of a pastor, but I think the art of life is to cause people to see Jesus and not ourselves. Paul said this, we preach Jesus, not ourselves. Number seven, we talked about the fact that he was a man that was honest. He spoke the truth. You crucified the Lord of glory. But notice in verse 19 that he says to them, he doesn't say to them, okay, well, you crucified the Lord of glory, and this man was healed by his faith, and now you are all going to be destroyed shortly. He actually says to them, repent, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Notice this. He was able not only to be honest, but he was also able to be loving. Truth without love doesn't work, and love without truth doesn't work. You know, you want people that are able to speak the truth in love into your life. And you know what? This is an art. I'll tell you, man, with our kids, you can sort of, Loretta will be able to tell you, I can go into reaction mode. And it's just truth, 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 truth. As opposed to maybe take my son on a date and take him for a walk and be able to share with them the truth. But Peter was able to be honest with the people, and he was able to realize that God ultimately loves the people much more than we love them. And we are representatives, we are ambassadors, we are called to demonstrate the love of God to people. And we have two more. Number eight, the thing that we have to cultivate, the thing that we need to have in our life is Peter was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that Stephen was a man of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. And I am so grateful because when I became a Christian, I looked at the Christian life and I thought to myself, this is impossible. And I had been a Mormon, and I had been born and raised Catholic, and I'd been a Mormon, and I knew how Christianity from the outside does not work. You need the power of God. And Jesus said that we could seek the Father and ask Him to give us His Holy Spirit. And to me, it is the wonderfulness of life. Like Jesus said to the disciples, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit shall be in you. And the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And the beauty of life is that God, by His Holy Spirit, works in us. Salvation is not something that we do. Salvation is something that God does by His Holy Spirit. The closest thing that I can tell you, which is very insignificant, but once Loretta and I went to the Faro in Cala Rajada, and as we were going up that narrow road, there was a car, because it's very easy for them to go off-road and then fall over, right? So two wheels were over. And me, optimistic that I am, I went, Loretta, just wait right here. I'm going to go help over there. And I went right to that car with a couple other people, and we went. The car didn't move an inch, not even a centimeter, not even a millimeter. Nothing. And then all of a sudden, a tow truck came, a hydraulic tow truck. And it put its things around it. And then the guys with two fingers, the thing was being lifted. And with one finger, they were guiding the car right to the right spot. And then they lowered. The power of hydraulics. That's the Christian life. The Christian life is God in us, the hope of glory, Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit, the power of God. You know, I don't share the gospel with people thinking to myself, oh, hey, yeah, the Lord loves you. And for a long time, I thought it was me and the person. I no longer think that way anymore. I think of all the years the Holy Spirit's been with that person. And I think of the Holy Spirit speaking to that person as I'm speaking. Whether they receive it, whether it's noticeable in that moment or not. To be able to trust, to be a light, to give a reason for the hope that is in us. To pray with people, not confident on what we can do, but confident of what God wants to do in their life. Not confident in our logic, but confident in His logic. Oh my goodness, what an amazing privilege we have. And what we want to do is say, Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Make torrents of living water flow from within me. Let me be a blessing in people's lives. And you know what? You know what's amazing? Peter had denied Jesus just a few days earlier, about a month and a half earlier. Peter had denied Jesus. And Jesus didn't say, by the way, it's over, Peter. He filled him with the Spirit and refilled him with the Spirit. And finally, I'm closing right here, the last one. And this is, to me, the most essential one. Of course, whenever there's a work of God, the religious authorities or the power mongers, they come and it's ready to quench the whole thing. And they went over to the disciples. And Peter got up and he says, "No, is there salvation in any other name? For there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." Verse 12 of chapter 4. And in verse 13, it says this. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," that means the religious leaders, those that controlled the sacrifices, the interpretation of the law, they dealt with the cases of immorality, those that dealt with everything that had to do with the religious aspect of the nation. "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled." Now notice what they perceived. They were uneducated and untrained. Now let me ask you a quick question. Were they uneducated and untrained? They were uneducated and untrained in their schools. But guys, they had been to the best school in the universe. They had spent 3.5 years with the creator of the universe. None of those guys had seen the water calmed by the very voice of Jesus. None of them had seen Jesus feeding the 5,000. None of them had seen the lepers being cleansed. None of them had seen the blind, the lame. All they were concerned about is the breaking of the Sabbath. All they were concerned about is about selling their sheep at a jacked up price in the temple. They cared, like Jesus said, they were whitewashed tombs. But these disciples had not gone to their schools. Thank God they didn't go to their schools. They went to the school of Jesus Christ. And notice what it says. They perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. And guys, to me, there's nothing wrong with going to seminary. There's nothing wrong with going to Bible school. There's nothing wrong with going to training courses. But the most powerful thing that we can do with our life is give our life to be discipled by Jesus Christ. You see, you can go to a seminary and not be discipled by Jesus. Discipleship comes by, in our day-to-day life, to say, "Jesus, teach me. Educate my life." And it is, you know what? If there is something that I long for in my life, and it's sad, huh? Because we were watching the Chosen. Have you seen the Chosen? It's a series. It's an app. It's an amazing series. We were watching the Chosen, and Jonathan watched both seasons. Now we're on season third, and he said, "Oh my goodness, I love Jesus." And I said to Jonathan, "He's just like Daddy, isn't he?" Now I was being facetious. I wasn't being serious. But he said, "No, not at all." Because I'm a grump. At times, I can be a grump. I can react. But if there's something that I long for, where I've been saved from the penalty of sin, I'm being saved from the power of sin, and I'm being saved from the presence of sin, if there's one thing that I long for in my life, is that when people are with me, they would experience some of the kindness, some of the grace, some of the beauty. And they would say, man, there's something different this person has been with Jesus. And I think for us as a church, it's not bad, is it, to yield to what God is doing? I mean, we are given to the Word. We are able to pray together. We're able to be humble, real people in a real world with a real God. We're able to ask the Lord to fill us with His Spirit. We're able to be honest with one another, able to be loving with one another, able to give glory to Jesus for what He's done in our life. And let's be people that spend time with Jesus. And you know what? At the end of the day, who you hang out with, you will become like. Who you hang out with, you will become like. Have you ever been someone with kind of says certain things and you're like, oh, it's not a big deal. And then, ouch, out it comes. And then you realize that you're imitating traits of this other person. Whoever you hang out with. And it's crazy. Bad habits are easier to imitate than good habits. Hang out with Jesus. You will be unique. You will be unique. And you will be a blessing. And you will be well influenced. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your love, for your grace. Thank you for another year. Thank you, Lord, that in the span of time, it is nothing. We have all of eternity ahead of us. What a privilege, Lord, to know you. And Father, may in our lives, no matter what education we have, may there be a sense that we might have not gone to those seminaries, but Lord, that we are educated by you. Educate our souls, Lord. Put a living hope, a boldness, a dynamic, a grace, a truthfulness, a prayer life by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Into your hands, I commit again. capture my heart. I surrender my will. Focus my mind till I'm yielded and still. Hearing your voice to answer your call. Carried away till I can't speak. Carry me.